1. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we transition now into winter sports as we're talking with Linfield High School hockey coach John Gardner. And Coach, first of all, welcome back, and thank you and your brother Jay for being with us over these many years. I was just reminiscing with Jay a little while ago about the first time that I met you guys. I was broadcasting a game from Salem State, Marblehead. I don't know who they were playing, but Jay was
Winthrop.
Well, okay, so you remember that.
Yeah.
And Jay was scouting, and since then we've learned to cover the Cape Ann League and broadcast games and talk with you. But anyway, down to business. How is John Gardner, and what's the status of Linfield hockey going into this season?
So the phrase I'll use that I came up with in the off season, because the off seasons are long, and I have a lot of time to think and a lot of time to stew, especially on what happened last year. Great year, but we just kind of ran into a hot goaltender and a good team bought in. A good friend of mine, Ryan Sheehan, coaches Triton. But the state I'd say we're in, we're at critical mass. That's where we're at right now. It's pretty much like we've had two tremendous years, kind of. You know, it's crazy thinking back our first year winning two games and then getting 20 last year and then being disappointed that that you lost in the quarterfinals. But we're at a critical mass where it's like we need to we're not going to mince words. Like it's you know, get the causeway and compete for a state championship or bust.
I want to get to that, but you always have philosophies or words of wisdom or goals. I don't know how you last year was the pillars of hockey or something like that.
Yep.
What's the outlook this year? What's the framework within your working with these kids as you first meet with them?
Yeah, so there's a lot. There's a lot there, and you can't take it all in one sitting just like the kids. But, again, just right now it's just learning from last year's mistakes and continue to build, you know, install a little bit more because we return 19 players.
Wow.
And we have two good freshmen, a goalie and a forward, some promotions from the JV team. So, but the bottom line is we have the core group back, so we don't have to start from square one. We can kind of like build, review, and then build and add some new install of different hockey strategies that I've kind of done some deep dives this off season. But like I said, it's the short term goals are you know, we play in the Christmas tournament in Boston Latin, so that's a chance to win some hardware. Win, it's not win or you go home, it's win or you don't get any hardware. So those are like good pressure situations. That's in December.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously have the Cape Ann League that we're going for a three-peat, and it's even tougher this year with Essex Tech jumping in.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do the Vineyard Tournament in February, the tournament before the tournament. And then obviously, again, last year we would use the slogan measured in March, and we won our first two and then kind of came up short. So we're going a step further with our kind of slogans and our mantras, and we basically want to go with do you want to be immortal in March? Because that's the way to do
I love it.
Game, so.
Oh man, yeah. I love that. And you know, John, I haven't talked with you or really many other coaches preseason in terms of what it's like coming into you know, before the season gets started. And so let's take this past week, a week ago, when football ends and you get into winter sports, what is the role what have you done in the past? What's the habit that you have in terms of greeting your team, getting your team ready? Because I'm sure you communicate with them in one way or another in the off season. But before that first day of practice, you probably pretty much know who's coming in and who you're going to be talking to. But what's that whole procedure like? What's the format?
Yeah, so we're always right around 40 players in the program, and that gives you a good mix of like carrying anywhere from 24, 25 varsity guys, and then somewhere underneath that, like less for JV because they only play hour games as opposed to 2 hour games. Occasionally you'll get both teams with a good amount of bodies and you could play a little bit into the hour instead of rushing the 50 minute game. But our priority is getting a really good and fair tryout. And over the years we've come up with a good format with that. I can't understand why guys, I know ice time's at a premium, but you can't have 40 guys skating around on the ice. It's a waste of time. So we basically split the team into two evenly matched teams, and we'll do split sessions on Monday. It's a bit of a cannonball run. I'll go to Hockey Town and run a session from 3 to 4 and then get in my car and scoot up to Peabody from 4:15 to 5:15.
Yep.
And then on Tuesday, in the past, we've done 6 a.m. for varsity just to get some skating and conditioning in and split the group. And in the years past, we would do all JV returners and freshmen on the ice at the same time. And if you can't stand out in that group, you ain't going to cut it when the big boys are playing with you on Wednesday night when we do like a full-fledged like inter-program game. So that kind of is nice because some guys are drill guys, some guys are gamers, and there's some kids that look like they struggled with some of the drills. Some of the drills I constructed are kind of a mad scientist, like they're difficult, so you kind of expose some weaknesses. And then out of nowhere, when they're playing on Wednesdays, they're just playing, and they stick to their instincts and their strengths, and some of the guys just like look a light years better. So, you know, we got a with all those returners, there wasn't a ton of decisions. That doesn't mean it wasn't hard. I had to, I don't know if Jay told you, I had to sit down with my nephew who was a freshman, and he didn't make varsity. So
no, he didn't. He didn't. When I talked with Jay, we didn't get into that. But that's the next thing I was going to ask you. One of the hard parts about coaching is that it's cutting people. And in that case, when it's a family member, it's going to be even harder. But you have to also, I think, balance that and be honest with kids and let them know that, which makes the process of cutting them a little bit easier, I would suppose.
Of course. I mean, I don't like when people just like post a list and run. So we'll post the list, and then I make sure I go to the junior varsity practice the next day. And whether you want to talk to me or not, we're having a conversation. So whether it's a kid that's like, oh, no, I knew I was going to, like, we'll talk about, like, what they need to work on, their strengths, their weaknesses. There's definitely always a couple guys that are disappointed and thought they were right there, and they are. And sometimes we'll leave, like, an open-ended spot, like, you didn't earn it. You didn't earn it the past 3 days, but our JV coaches are crazy like us, so they're in it, and they're in our ears all the time with our guys. We do joint program skates at least once every 2 weeks, but most of the time it's pretty consistent where I can get my own eyes on them. And if a kid looks like he's working hard and getting better and deserves a bump, my JV coaches will give me that word and will reward them with a practice and whatnot. But those conversations, a lot of people don't like having those face-to-face tough conversations. I think we've kind of cultivated an environment where, like, you know, we lean in on that and have the conversations.
Well,
you know, I not only did my nephew, but I'm at the age where a lot of my friends have kids.
Yep.
You know, at the high school level. So,
but, you know, down down the road, you know that they're going to look back at that and appreciate it. Whether they made the team or not, they're going to say, okay, coach gave us a fair break, and that was their way to do it.
Yep, 100%.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk about the team that you have and the preseason that you have up to this point because, man, the first game is coming up, on Saturday?
Saturday. Yeah, Saturday we open up against the team that ended our season, so that'll be fun.
Okay, all right. So tell me about what you have. Tell me about what you have coming back, Coach, if you would please, and then maybe a little bit about the scrimmages.
Yeah, so we're fortunate enough where not often a 20-win team returns 19 players, so that's that doesn't get you anything. That just kind of like you're returning some experienced guys. We return a lot of firepower up front. We have we actually have three senior lines intact.
Wow.
We have a junior line that's very talented. And then we have three senior defensemen, two junior defensemen, and we had a couple recently promoted JV defensemen that were freshmen last year. They're sophomores this year, so they're kind of learning on the job, which is great, having the depth that we have. Sophomore goalie, very talented kid, Michael Morangay, was a really good backup for our all-league defenseman, Danny McSweeney, goalie Danny McSweeney, and he really came along throughout the year. And then we actually have a freshman goalie that's very talented as well, so it's a great, healthy competition between the two of them. So we're were pleased with that. So, yeah, we return a lot. Again, I've expressed to them that doesn't get you anything.
Mm-hmm. I talked with Clayton Marenghi a couple of days ago over at Endicott College, the incredible year he's had. And he and his brother Cooper, I know, were standouts at Linfield, and they always, both of them, just the first thing they mention is their tutelage at Linfield High School. And Coach, I know you take great pride in that that legacy and that tradition that is over there, and you and your brother Jay have upheld that. And that has to be transferred, I'm sure, across to your captains, which filters down to the other kids as well.
Absolutely. That word legacy is a big one. We always talk about that concept of you're a part of something bigger than yourself. We always kick the season off, not with tryouts, but the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we always have our alumni game. You mentioned Cooper Marenghi, who was a captain for us. We, us at Linfield being a hockey town, we'll do like an over 40 skate, I think I've mentioned it before, and then we'll do like a 14 beanpot draft where it's like 60 skaters, not counting goalies. The all-in total, I think our max has been 86 skaters. This year we were at about 60, 65. So Cooper actually was on the team that won the Pioneer Beanpot this year. So, but yeah, just to show them, like, they're seeing a guy that graduated from the class of 73, and then he's pushing 65, 70, and then we'll have a kid that just graduated, he's 18. So it's just to see them all under one roof and competing. We try and create that culture of just competition. So yeah, it's just that stuff like that. It just kind of it stings not advancing and making it as far as we wanted to. But like seeing kids like that and giving these guys lessons for the rest of their life, that's kind of really what it's all about.
And John, the stress, the pressure, and all that stuff, working with kids, and you got to win. But damn, I'm hearing that you. You really enjoy it, and you still have fun with it at your level.
Absolutely, like it's great to be able to do what you love, and this has been a passion of ours since we were at Linfield High. Not so much when we were young. When we were younger, we weren't the best players and struggled a bit, but we stayed with it. But like since we've been, since we played at Linfield High for Drew Taylor, we've been just all in, passionate about hockey, and to be able to be back here coaching. The Pioneers, it's just very humbling, and we're just going to keep working, building on what we've built already, which is pretty special.
Absolutely. But to have that experience of struggling as a youngster, that has to help you as a coach.
Oh, definitely. And as I mentioned, our first year, being the prideful, competitive group that me and Jay are, the duo that we are, just to start your first year and win two games. It took us 13 games to get our first win. So that was, wasn't a great Thanksgiving / Christmas / winter, but it kind of fuels you, when you kind of fall on your face, you just got to, get up and keep going. So you learn a lot from your failures.
Yeah. And you identify with the kids who are struggling. And that's why you, as you just mentioned a little while ago, you talk to them face to face and tell them, work harder, do better, show me what you got. Let me ask you now, finally, before we get come to the end of this, and I've taken up enough of your time, but tell me, please, what you've learned from the first two scrimmages against Danvers and Marblehead.
Just some little bugaboos, a little rust with some of the guys. We lost our two captain defensemen, one of which is just a really good offensive dynamic skating defenseman that was a one-man breakout. So we knew we'd struggle a little bit with the breakout, and that's what we did a little bit against Danvers. They're always a good hockey town. We put up a nine spot, but we gave up four or five, and not happy about that. Fix that, tighten the screws a little bit the day or two after that, and then we scrimmaged Marblehead, who's recently dropped down from Division Two after having a great year. So they were very, very good, and for us to kind of keep them at bay for most of the game, they scored on the first shift in a little bit of a trend with us kind of not getting out of the room on time, and then in turn sometimes we're thinking about getting back in the room at intermission and we give up a goal late. So that's happened a couple times on both scrimmages, so we'll fix that.
Mm-hmm.
But really pleased with the turnaround from Marblehead, I think, was a stronger a little further along than Danvers was, and they returned a lot. And for us to keep the, we're up 2-1 with about 3 minutes left. Took a bad penalty, gave up a power play goal, went into overtime, and then it was the best thing that could have happened to us because we played 5 minutes of overtime, did a shootout, so it was just like check all those boxes in the preseason, which was awesome. So I'm very, we were very encouraged with our depth and our skill set with the whole team, and just to have some guys, you see that you kind of, you know, you kind of project where they're going to be. And then to see it with your own eyes, it doesn't always materialize, but then when you start to see it and then some, it's exciting. So we have a couple sophomores and juniors that didn't play as much that, like, really put in the work this summer, and they're really looking to, you know, take their spot. So it's very exciting.
All right, next time we talk, I want to ask about individuals, of course. But tell me a little bit about what you expect, what the deal is this week in getting prepared for Saturday's game against Triton.
Yeah, so again, it's just a build-up, you know, from first scrimmage to second to third, and then eventual, you know, lights, camera, action, you know. I would say this right in front of the Triton team, so I don't even care. It's like you're not trying to do any misinformation here. They have a really good goalie, and they have two defensemen that are pretty dynamic. So the big thing that we had is just cashing our chances, get some traffic. Sounds pretty generic, but if the goalie can't see it, he's not going to stop it most of the time or not be able to control the rebound as well. So we got to just get in front of that kid and just use our strength, which is our speed and our depth, and just kind of wear teams down. But every single game, with the exception of one, over the past, I don't know, 6-7 years, Ryan Sheen's coaches the Triton team. He's from Linfield. Every single time we play, I joke. It used to be like whoever is going to win the last 5 minute wins the game. Then it shifted to the last minute. Then it shifted to literally, did that beat the buzzer, like 0.7 second goals. He's done it to me. I've done it to him. So it's just going to be who makes plays at the end, and my guys will be, you know, expecting a good, hard-fought, close game to start the Cape Ann League. It's going to be exciting.
Sounds like a spectator's delight, man. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
All right,
absolutely.
So that's 2 o'clock on Saturday, Triton at the Graff up in Newburyport. Coach, thank you, and your brother, so much for everything, and we're going to talk to you again very soon.
Absolutely. I told you there's no time frame for me. You don't take up any of my time. I'll talk to you all night. And that game got shifted to noon at the Graff.
To noon. I'll make sure I make a note of that in the post. Hey, John, thank you so much. Good luck. Talk to you probably next week. Thanks, Coach.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Take care. All right. That's John Gardner, who is the Linfield High School hockey coach with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.